a clan line, cutting out a fire break line.
Yes, sir. Steve Earle. Woo! Love it. You sound great. 11-time Grammy nominee. You've done an awful lot for the business. You've influenced so many of your friends. Willie Nelson, these are your buddies. You're out at Farm Aid. You're doing the festivals, traveling the world. Looking back, is there a highlight? Is there one? Was it the first Grammy out of the three? Of course, you've been nominated 11 times, but yeah, is there a highlight?
Well, it was a big deal to get nominated all those times. The first time I got nominated, I was actually on the broadcast. Normally, the awards I'm nominated for on the pre-broadcast, because there's a lot more awards they can get on the TV show, and the TV show's too damn long as it is. But it's not, I don't know, that's hard to say. I mean, I've met most of my heroes that are still alive, and I've only been disappointed twice, which is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, only twice.
And you're not going to tell us it?
No, I'm not going to tell
you. Of course.
if they were dead, I'd tell you, but they're not. I've played Carnegie Hall, and I did practice, to get there. And I've done, there's a few places I haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what I do for a living, now what's left for me is the reason I moved to New York 12 years ago is, I want to write a Broadway musical. I never thought I would want to do that. But, I mean, I want to write the kind of thing that I do. I've got one in development. I'm talking to a theater company about it now. The idea is for it to – it's the kind of thing that could open off Broadway and then move up.
What's the story?
It's called Washington Square Serenade. It's based on that record of mine, okay. and which I did win a Grammy for. And it's based on sort of the folk boom musically. But it's set in Washington Square Park,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a kid who dropped out of NYU, and he busts in the park, and his girlfriend is a graduate student at NYU, and she kind of hates New York and wants out of there. And he's right on the cusp of losing her because all he wants to do is hang out with these guys that he knows in the park, and the guys he busts with, and he hangs out with the chess players and all that stuff. And it's sort of based on a piece of history and a lot of history about the park itself. Washington Square Park, beneath those beautiful paving stones and all that landscaping are the remains of 20,000 human beings because it was a potter's field. And there were probably 6,000 or 7,000 people there, and then three plagues in a row filled it up really fast, and they limed it over, and they kind of forgot about it. It also has history before that. The Lenape Indians farmed tobacco there. Half-freed slaves, they were called. They were slaves that belonged to the property of the Dutch East India Company, were given that land to farm in return for forming a militia to form a buffer between the Dutch mm-hmm. and the Indians themselves, because they wanted that land back, and they would occasionally come back and try to take it back. Those guys are buried in the African burial ground. We know who nearly all of them were, but they mm-hmm. all farmed that area that is now Washington Square Park and that part of Greenwich Village. I don't want to give too much about it away, but there's a little bit of a ghost story involved and a lot about the history of the park and, this kid and his love for the area. And he gives walking tours. He busts in the park and he gives walking tours of Greenwich Village to make a living. And so the audience learns about the history mm-hmm. of downtown New York and in the process. And it'll be called Washington Square Serenade. And I'm working on that. I'm also doing David Simon and I are in the talking stages of a musical about Sparrow's Point in Baltimore, which is a neighborhood where Southern black and white culture was thrown together to work at Bethlehem Steel and kind of created, mm-hmm. Baltimore was a very unique place at its peak. It still is. And I know a little bit too much about it because I was in The Wire and I was there a lot for several years, but I know where all the good lake trout places are. I just did music for the new Richard Maxwell play for mm-hmm. Soho Rep and ended up in that play, which was terrifying. Acting in films and television is one thing, but acting on stage in New York City is another thing altogether. So, but I do have that on my resume now. Yeah. So kind of what I live for. I live for, when I'm off the road, which isn't very much, but what I, the only thing I do is I collect guitars, I go see theater, and I go see Major League Baseball. I need live theater and Major League Baseball in my life at this point. Mm-hmm. So I live in New York City.
And there's quite an interesting life it's been. Seven wives? I mean, twice married?
No, only six wives. I married one of them twice.
Seven marriages then.
Yeah.
Wow. A very interesting story. So, when it's time to make the Steve Earle story, who do you want to play Steve Earle?
Oh, man. It's fine. Nobody's going to make that story just because it'll be too hard to write. I think, plus I've used all the good material. You know, I've been ready to do that my whole life. That's what I do. So.
But I know you won a Grammy for an album inspired by the Iraq War, and you've been involved with so many different activist-type situations and events. And when you're writing music, is there something that's off limits to you? Is there an area that you write about anything?
Everybody's shocked because this new record of mine is so unpolitical, but it's just because I didn't know this was going to happen when I was writing these songs. I went on stage, and we recorded this record in early December.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on stage in November in Canada thinking that, you know, I supported Bernie Sanders until he was out of the race, and I voted for Hillary Clinton. And I went on stage and I thinking we were going to elect the first woman president of the United States. And the Clintons, I knew what that was, you know, and we'd had it before. So I came off and discovered we'd elected the first orangutan president of the United States. So I had no idea that this was going to happen. And I was in shock for days, just like everybody else. I know this guy. I live in New York City. So those of us that live there have seen this guy in action for a long time. You know, I saw him come to a Yankees game once and come in the third inning with a bunch of guys. In the seventh inning, there's a three-run homer by the other team, and he throws up his arms, and they all get up, and they all start to walk out, and he left early. That's the kind of guy that he is. That tells me a lot about somebody's character. So I already knew, but it's one of those things. It happened, and now we got to live through it. We also have to take stock. I'm not a finger pointer when it comes to this is a democracy, and in a democracy, we get the democracy we deserve, and we have to do better. The other side, if you want to divide things up, are going to do what they do. Their interests are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism is not a religion. It's not even a philosophy. It's a force of nature. It's something you have to deal with, like hurricanes and rattlesnakes and just stuff that you have to deal with. It's part of, it's real. There's nothing inherently evil about it, but you can't depend on the idea that capitalism is going to organically take care of everybody. Is always proven to be untrue over and over and over again. That's why we have all these other things that actually are systems of thought and philosophies trying to counter that so that we can take care of each other. And I'm old fashioned, lefty. I really truly believe there's no reason for anybody to go hungry in the richest country in the world. It's really that simple for me.
And we are reaching a lot of people in a lot of places around the world,
right?
And they're all going through their own different kinds of struggles and challenges.
And no, it's not just happening here. There's been an ugly thing happen across the world. It's happened before. Nationalism's ugly, you know. It just is, you know. The more, to me, the more I think of myself as a citizen of the world rather than being a member of some individual tribe, I think the better off that we are. And I really, truly believe that. I'm very grateful that I've been able to travel all over the world. And then I know I'm glad I was in Australia when, you know, the first Mideast war broke out. And I was in when we actually started shooting. I was in this last Iraq war. I was in Europe, and I've been grateful for being able to witness how the rest of the world reacted to it rather than seeing it just through the lens of you know, media and my neighbors here in this country. I love it. I'm always going to be a Texan. I'm always going to be an American. But I consider myself to be a citizen of the world, and I think there's a responsibility that goes with that, that means, you know, yeah, and there's a responsibility in a democracy. You can't we got to do something different. Like working folks in this country, like lefties, I come from a long tradition of intellectual lefties who who don't really, you know, I get to do something I really love and make an embarrassing amount of money for a borderline Marxist doing it. So it's very easy to lose track of the fact that there are real people out there with real problems, and they have been left behind. And this election was about them reacting to that. And that's a failure of mine. It's a failure of ours as far as people that think more like I do, as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm trying to figure out, this next record of mine is probably, I found the immediate future for this band. I've got a really great country rock band. So I think the next record is going to be just as country as this one and way more political, and I'm traveling around the country now and trying to listen as much as I do anything else. And I think a record like that could be really, really interesting next time.
And you've been with the same band for a while.
Well, there's some guys that it's a breathing organism. It's like Kelly Linney, the bass player, has been with me since 1988. Hmm. Chris Masterson, Eleanor Whit Murray play guitar and fiddle, and they're a married couple. They also make records on their own, as the Mastersons. They've been in the band 8 years now. Steel players new came for this record because I hadn't had pedal steel in the band for a long time. Desperately needed it for this record. And we changed drummers after 15 years last year. Brad Pemberton, he's from Nashville, Tennessee. He's like, kind of the best drummer in Nashville these days. He was in Ryan Adams' band for about 10 years. He was in the Cardinals. And, Will Rigby had been with me for a long time, just got tired of being on the road. And it's how I make my living. So, I mean, I'm getting homesick now for the first time in my life. I miss New York when I'm gone. And I've got a 7-year-old and he has autism. And that's kind of a big center of my life. One of my main areas of activism now is raising money for his school and raising money for autism awareness. The truth of the matter is, New York City's the only place where the resources are even close to what kids need, that they even exist at all, and they're only available for an incredibly small percentage of the population that can either afford to pay for it out of pocket or lawyer up and sue the city, because there's a federal law that says that if you're in a public school system and that public school system can't provide a service to your child, that school system is required to compensate you for the cost of acquiring that treatment and that education privately. The funds to fund that only exist in New York City, but even in New York, you have to lawyer up to get it. I do. I can't afford the school that John Henry's in. I make good money, but the school's, I'm not going to say a number, but it's a lot of money because it's 40 hours a week of ABA therapy. It's the ratio is 1-on-1, and that's what's recommended. That's what every one of these kids needs and deserves. And we have 1 in 80 or 90 kids being born with autism now, on what they call the spectrum. That it's an epidemic. It's something environmental. We got to figure out what it is. We have to be concerned in this case with both how the mule got in the ditch and how to get him out, because we have to deal with this aging population of kids that are growing up with autism. Some of them eventually speak, some of them don't. And we just don't know how that's going to turn out. And you meet one person with autism, you met one person with autism. It's all different. And the outcomes, the main thing is never give up.
Right.
And there are resources, out there. There need to be way, 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 way more. And it requires education. It's going to take some time to fix it. But we need to get on it because, some of these kids are brilliant. Mine's pretty smart, and he just doesn't talk. The person that's going to figure out how to cure cancer is possibly out there and won't be able to tell us. That's what we're up against. That's what we're in danger of losing.
Mm. Wow, very interesting, Steve Earle. And, we're near the end here, but I we could go on and on and on. And I thank you so much for joining us. And the new album is out. It's dedicated to your mentor, Guy Clark, who passed away.
Yeah, it's good. Dedicated to Waylon Jennings, but he's gone too. But Guy passed away last year when I was writing these songs. And this was... Guy was a great story songwriter. He was a great craftsman. And, I had two main teachers, Townes Van Zandt and Guy Clark. Townes was more like, give me a copy of Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee and tell me to go read it. But Guy would show me how he laid songs out on a piece of paper. And I learned a lot about the craft from him. And This was when he passed away. We had a wake in Nashville, and then when it was over, we took his ashes to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where his ashes are still there, waiting to go into bronze by Terry Allen, because that's what he said he wanted, or at least that's what Terry said. We only have Terry's word for that now that I think about it, but that's what's going to happen with him. And when we got home, I wrote this. Michelangelo, ain't no trouble where you go, ain't no pain to burn you blind, just enough to draw a line. Goodbye, Maestro, farewell, gone to heaven, been to hell. Just New Mexico. Goodbye, Michelangelo. Farewell, my Captain, adios. Sail upon the sea of ghosts. Chase the white whale to the end. Bring the story back again. I'm bound to follow you someday. You have always shown the way. We knew where we had to go. Goodbye, Michelangelo.
Till it comes my time, I won't have to travel blind. Taught me everything I know. Goodbye, Michelangelo.
Steve Earle. Right here on The Voice of America. So You Want to Be an Outlaw. The album is out and available. People can get it on your website,
I assume. You can get it on the website. You can get it, you download it in any of the other places. You can download music. You can stream it. You can do all that stuff. Or you can go to a mom-and-pop-owned record store and buy it on vinyl. And you can also come out to the show, and we'll hook you up with one.
All right. Where can people find out more about Steve Earle? Give us your
website. SteveEarle.com. And I had to buy it back, but it's SteveEarle.com. That's the way that works sometimes.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. Come back and see us again when you're in D.C. Steve Earle, our guest today. This is Border Crossings.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
I've been here all night.
Ariana.
I've been here all day.
Nicki
Minaj. And you got me walking side to side.
No.
I'm talking to you. Give you up.
type of flow. Wrist icicle, ride bicycle. Come true, yo. Get you the cypher blow. If you wanna manage, I got a tricycle.
Rose is my mini-me. Body smoking, so they call me Young Nicki Chimney. Rappers and they feelin' cause they feelin' me. I give zero f- then I got zero chillin' me. Kissin' me. Pop the blue box, I say Tiffany. Curry with the shot, just tell them to call me Stephanie. Pop, then I make my gum pop. I'm the queen of rap, Young Ariana Run Pop.
These friends keep fucking way too much. Say I should give them up. Can't hear them no, cause
flow. Wrist icicle, ride bicycle. Come true, yo. Get you the cypher blow. If you want a menage, I got a tricycle.
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. A baby, I just wanna dance. I met her on Grafton Street, right outside of the bar. She shared a cigarette with me while her brother played the guitar. She asked me, what does it mean? The Gaelic ink on your arm. Said it was one of my friend's songs. Do you want a drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding a shotgun. Chatted some more, one more drink at the bar. Then put Van on the jukebox, got up to dance. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance with my pretty little Galway girl. And then she beat me at pool. And then she kissed me like there was nobody else in the room. As last orders were called was when she stood on the stool. After dancing to Kaylee singing to trad tunes. I never heard Carrick Fergus ever sung so sweet. Acapella in the bar using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing on repeat for a week. And in this packed out room where she was singing to me. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band. But she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance. My pretty little Galway girl. Closing time, I was holding a hand, her hand was holding mine. Our coats both smell of smoke, whiskey and wine. As we fill up her lungs with the cold air of the night. I walked her home, then she took me inside to finish some Doritos and another bottle of wine. I swear I'm gonna put you in a song that I write about a Galway girl and a perfect night. She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance, my pretty little Galway girl.
Crossings, you know, Ed Sheeran, of course, Galway Girl, a song inspired by his hometown, and that is a great request. Thank you very much, Teddy, in Addis Ababa, for requesting that song, Galway Girl, on Border Crossings. We also heard a request from Andonna Pever, and that was Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj, Side to Side, here on Border Crossings. Thank you again, Steve Earle, for joining us today. So You Want to Be an Outlaw is the name of his new album. And we will have the Steve Earle TV show up on our website as soon as possible, voanews.com. You can click on the broadcast schedule, click on the TV tab and see some of the videos. And you can click on the radio tab and relive Border Crossings with our archive files. I do want to remind everybody in Ghana, coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, 98.1 will be off air for a few days while we make some technical repair work done to the transmitter site. So keep that in mind in Ghana. Sorry to say we'll be off for a few days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings today. Thank you, Wagner, our engineer, and to the rest of the gang, and Vince, our director. I appreciate all the help behind the scenes, and again, thanks to Steve Earle. I'm Larry London. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Border Crossings on the VOA 1 Music Network. Bring it on down. But you know what we need?
On Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.